Throughout all of time, people, even God's people, have longed to see the justice of God. In the time of Malachi, the prophet of God brought a charge against the people of Judah. Malachi said, "You ask, how have we wearied God?" And God replied by saying, "All who do evil," God replied, I read it wrong. It says, "God replied, comma, by saying." So God's going to speak now. Got it? "All who do..." No, I did it wrong again. I'm still on the island. Maybe I should be on the island. Okay, see y'all later. I'm going back to the island. I convinced myself. All right, now, it says, they ask, "How have you wearied..." "How have we wearied God?" And God replied to them, "You have wearied me by saying, 'All who do evil are good in the eyes of Yahweh. He is pleased with them. Where is the justice of God?'" Now I'm in the groove. See, they longed to see the justice of God. The Hebrews, in the passage from Malachi, were arguing against God that he was not just because he was too willing to forgive. They wanted to see the justice of God instead of the loving forgiveness and mercy of God. In our own denomination, we publish a really fancy magazine every quarter that is designed to show the justice of God in our out-of-balance world. Like the Hebrews in Malachi's day, we seem to want to replace mercy and kindness with justice. We long to see the justice of God. But folks, there is one big problem with justice. The problem with justice is that it is just. In a just world, we all stand equal before the law. In a just world, there is nothing greater than the equal application of the law. In a just world, there are no extenuating circumstances, no special considerations. This is the law. You break the law. This is the punishment you get for breaking the law. No matter what, no questions asked. When it comes to you, justice is fine with me. God can be just with all of you if he wants to be. In fact, maybe it would do you all good if God just gave you what you deserved. But when it comes to me, well, I want some loving kindness and mercy. In fact, when it comes to me, I don't want justice at all. I prefer grace. Now, Bill Bob, an old friend of mine, used to say that grace is better understood this way. Look at the screen behind me. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That simply means that God is just, but not necessarily fair. He let Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, go to Calvary's cross to carry my sins so that I might be set free. That is not justice, folks. That is grace. See, if God treated us justly, if he gave us only what we deserved, that would be fair. That would be just. But if that's how God treated us, we'd all not only die, we'd spend eternity in hell. The Bible says it is by grace that we are saved, and that comes through Jesus Christ, so that none of us can boast. We are not saved because we are good. We are not saved because we are rich. We're not saved because we're pretty. Salvation, you may be pretty, but it won't save you, bud. Salvation is not a right. Okay, I get so tired of going. I went to a funeral, I listened to preachers, and they're on the edge of saying everybody goes to heaven because it is your right to go there. You just got to die. Once you die, you're in heaven. It's a lie. It's not true. Grace, salvation comes by grace. We receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how it works. But God's justice and fairness are always beneath laying the foundation for God's grace. It's always been there. His justice and his mercy still stand. Now, the story that Peter read to you just a moment ago from the scripture makes that clear. Zelophehad. Now, if you want to practice biblical names, it's a really great one. Okay, you just sort of go look at it and sit there and figure out how many ways you can say Zelophehad. Okay, Zelophehad had died. He was a good Jew of the tribe of Joseph. He owned that he was nothing special, that he was just a sinner, and that his death was just. It was, in essence, what he earned because of his own sin. Now, we all die. And we all die because we have all sinned. Zelophehad had not participated in open rebellion against God or against Moses. And when he died, Zelophehad had no sons. He had five lovely daughters, but he had no male heirs. As daughters could not inherit, Zelophehad's portion would be absorbed by others, and his daughters would be cut off without support. Now, honestly, this is a question of justice. It's a question of fairness. Why should others take Zelophehad's portion simply because they were male and his own daughters be cut out without support just because they were women? How is that fair? How is it just? So, Zelophehad's daughters brought the matter to Moses. Now understand that the matter baffled great Moses. I love Moses as a model for behavior because he stands before us just like every other human being. I mean, they bring him these questions, and poor Moses goes, oh, now what do I do? Okay? He knew the general concept accepted at the time, women cannot inherit. It's simple. Women cannot inherit. Being a product of the age in which he lived, he had never given the matter any real thought. He simply accepted things the way they are. Women cannot inherit. But when Zelophehad's daughters brought the matter of their father's portion to Moses, when they asked him about their father's inheritance, he could see that the situation was neither just nor fair. Why should these women be cut off simply because they were women? So Moses, realized, you feel the predicament here? I'm trying to show you. He understood that if he ruled in favor of the five daughters of Zelophehad, as he knew he should, this would set a new legal precedence that would alter things legally forever. Now, you don't want to do things like that lightly. I mean, it's a big decision. If I change this in this case, it's going to matter throughout all of time. So Moses resolved to take the matter to God and to ask God what he should do. Now, just let me make it clear to you. That in all matters, big ones and little ones, every matter, all matters, no matter what the matter, all matters, we should do as great Moses did on this occasion and many others. We must always seek to know and follow the will of God. You with me? We must always seek to know and follow the will of God. So when it comes to matters of justice and fairness, we must seek to know the mind of God because it is God which determines such things. Now, you're going to find me to be an absolute on this if you haven't discovered it already. Okay, see, culture doesn't determine what's right and wrong. Okay, people don't get to make up their mind about what's fair and just. It just doesn't work that way. We are not the determinant factor in such things. Our minds are not good enough to get in all the stuff. It's God who determines what is fair and just. It is He alone who establishes what is right and wrong. So for us, the Bible must be our guide. Now remember, great Moses did not have the Bible. But we must always determine justice and fairness on the basis of what God has said. So Moses goes directly to the Lord. We go to Him through His holy given word. That's why we are not free, folks, to say to Sam that he can marry Bob. It is why we cannot give approval to Bruce's change into Caitlin. Even though these things may seem right and fair or just to us, and certainly seem right and fair and just to our culture, we are not the arbitrators of justice. We do not determine morality. God does. So we need to follow in all such matters the word of God. So Moses sets the right example. He did the correct thing. He inquired of God. And in this case, God spoke loudly and clearly. Give the women their father's portion. So Moses did what God said. It set a new precedent and law. It has changed forever through this. But it showed the basis for everything. God's fairness and God's justice was under it all. Now, here's the point of today's lesson. First thing, God determines what is just. God says what is right and wrong, not you, not me, and certainly not public opinion. We don't take a vote to determine what's moral. It is written down in the Word of God. And God, our Father, is always fair and just. It is shown in the fact of death. Every person who dies, dies for the same reason. You and I, if the Lord delays, will die for the same reason. We're going to die because we have sinned. There are no exceptions. That's justice. It's fair. But God's justice is always rooted in God's grace. Without grace, our future is bleak. What we have all earned is not just death. What we have all earned is hell. Not everyone is going to heaven. To get there, you must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Now, that does not seem just or fair, does it? Okay? Come on. How come some of us can go there and some of us can't? Truth, it doesn't seem just or fair to me either because I want everybody to go to heaven. But heaven is not a just concept. It is a concept of grace. We, none of us, deserve heaven. What we deserve is hell. Because to get to heaven, you have to be perfect, and none of us have done it. We deserve hell because we have sinned. Now, let me make it really clear. Hell is a just concept. We all stand equal before the law. You break it, you go there. Anybody not broken it? If so, you're lying to yourself, and that's breaking it. Okay? So if you sin, you're going to die. And if you die in a just world, you're going to hell. You don't want God's justice. Because justice will send you to hell. You want God's grace. So today, please, stop insisting on justice. It will not save you. Cling to grace.